In the grim darkness of the far future, there is only war, and absolutely no room for fancy notions like self-preservation. If you think signing up for the Imperial Guard, Astra Militarum, is a noble destiny, think again. You'd be cannon fodder before breakfast. Every morning begins with a bugle and the stark realization that the Emperor's price on your head is extremely low. One moment you're an average citizen with 3 meals a day and running water, the next you're neck deep in mud and dying for both. Your first lesson, hope, is the first casualty, and the rest of the day won't be kind either. By the time evening rolls around, if it does, the only thing protecting your thoughts is sheer numbness. Strap in, because the next 24 hours will be worse than any nightmare you've ever had on Earth. Imagine waking up in a cold, rat-infested trench on a planet nobody's ever heard of. The sky is a muted gray, and the smell of promethium and cordite hangs heavy in the air. Around you, your squad mates shuffle to attention. Half of them slept on damp cots, the rest passed out in a pile of gear. You blink as a sergeant barks orders in your face, jolting you to attention. Eyes front, dog. There is no snooze button here. You spit out the last of your scorched imperial porridge. They lie, it's not even edible, and stand at alert. Already you know one thing is certain. By tonight, dozens of people in this trench will die. Maybe you will too. Basic training, or the illusion of it. Fancy some orientation classes? Tough luck. The Imperial Guard doesn't have time for Cadet Gabby reciting the prime prayers or polishing bayonets until they shine. In most PDF, Planetary Defense Force, regiments, basic training lasts a few months at best. You'll learn how to load a laser gun, aim mostly forward, and chant for the Emperor on command. Once that's done, you're already on the first transport ship to the front lines, whether you feel ready or not. There's no special forces boot camp here. You're not joining the Navy SEALs of the Imperium. You're hitting the meat grinder without an E-meter. Even on worlds that take training seriously, looking at you, Cadian shock troops, the bar is barely above don't faint during drill. Most conscripts are white shields, inexperienced boys who haven't even earned their regiment's colors. They're taught to squat with their laser guns propped on sandbags and march in formation with stiff smiles. If you survive long enough to get real combat training, consider yourself lucky. In most cases, you'll be learning on the battlefield itself. It's like being thrown onto a football field in full gear with no practice drills. By the end of the day, you'll realize the only thing boot camp taught you was how loud to salute before getting shot at. Modern soldiers train for months with high-tech gear, medics on standby, and clear retreat protocols. In the Astra Militarum, if you haven't been shot on day one, your training must have been decent. That's not luck, that's incompetence on the wrong side of things. Gear, laser-powered fragility. Your uniform, an itchy stained tunic and a tabard that says, God Emperor Protects. Your armor, flak vest and helmet, the bare minimum to keep shrapnel off your favorite bits. Yes, that's it. Flak armor is essentially the 41st millennium's equivalent of Kevlar. It'll stop a stray bullet or piece of shrapnel with a painful thump, but don't count on it against anything heavier. A laser gun bolt to the chest, bruising at worst. A las bolt from the Xenos heavy rifle. It will shred you. If a Tyranid warrior punches you, your flak will crack like a coconut. Think of it as an umbrella in a hailstorm. It helps, but you'll still end up with war paint. Your rifle is a laser gun, cheap, ubiquitous, and revered as sacred technology. But it's basically a point-and-click weapon. It fires a laser beam capable of taking off an arm at close range, but only if you aim well. At medium distance, it's mostly a bruise generator. On the bright side, the heat-sealed wounds cauterize, so you won't bleed out if you do get nicked. Yay. On the downside, the lasergun's capacitor packs die after just a handful of shots, and reloads are not guaranteed on the front line. Infantrymen often carry reloadable power packs charged by dying in the sun or heated by the glow of lava, like your personal solar flashlight that shoots lasers. It's gloriously primitive. No ammo belts or magazines, just batteries. If the batteries run dry and the emissive strip is sputtering, you either swap packs or meet your end in a clever way. Veterans joke about overcharging their packs to use their laser guns as makeshift grenades. Not because it's smart, but because that's the kind of creativity desperation breeds. You'd better hope you don't live long enough for it to occur to you. A bayonet lug is fitted in case you run out of juice, or just so you can stab something when all else fails. In your experience, bayonets are mostly used for bayonet fixing ceremonies or angry thrusts at trees. But at least you have something pointy to hug the enemy with, right? If you think about it, your standard issue rifle is literally the Imperium's version of a production line flashlight with scary paint. It's robust and reliable in mass salvos, but one-on-one you're a glorified street performer with a laser pointer. What about the rest of your kit? Maybe a stick of Imperial Grax detergent for washing away gore stains from your uniform. A crate of strange tinned food called Kubalanian beef stew, and a flak grenade for warmth. That's about it. You're issued the cheapest gear on the galaxy market because there are billions of you. When your flak vest gets shredded, and it will, you sew it up with Imperial thread and hope for the best. If you break your laser gun or lose a pack, that's an official chargeable offense called loss of Imperial property. The punishment? People have lost entire rows of their teeth for telling the truth about that paperwork. Let's not forget your boots. They're basically hardened loafers with steel toes, great for stamping out fires and rustling through alien jungles. On the other hand, as soon as a mud puddle deeper than a couple of inches appears, your boots cease to protect anything except your consciousness that it's time to get out. Good luck with that. In summary, your gear is flimsy, your weapons are meh, and the enemy fields battlefield-dominating armors and living tanks. The only advantage you have is that you're in no danger of being shot by your own ammo. Laser gun bolts don't ricochet usually, but everything else about your equipment says, have fun out there. Barracks and Bubos, daily grind and squalor. When you're not on the firing line, you find yourself in the life of a lowly gruntsman. There is no PE kit or mess hall with hot meals. Instead, you live in trenches, bunkers, or squat, ramshackle huts built by commissars to test your tolerance for discomfort. Think refugee camp meets training camp, except every day someone replaces sand with a new deadly element. One day, it's sandstorms that blind you. The next, it's acid rain that sizzles the back of your neck. The other two options are nuclear winter and fungal infestations. Rotate which flavor of apocalypse you get at random. Daily routine checklist. Wake up at a time that may not actually exist. The Emperor's face might appear in the rising sun, or your commissar might have yelled, same difference. Delouse your uniform at least twice a day in front of your screaming comrades. Miss one session and you'll have more new friends than reasons to complain. Attend morning muster, where every pointless briefing is delivered by some goggled commander who could have sent a microfilm instead of gathering all of you just to yell in your ear. Grab break ration number 43A, two thick slices of sawdust steak, a watery cup of nutrient gruel, tastes like the time you boiled your own shoe, and a protein gel cube labeled caution. Do not eat directly from container. Cheerfully call it breakfast. Head to guard duty, crotchety sergeant barkingly at your heels, or to whatever trench line needs patching. March, dig, patrol. Repeat until midday or until you collapse. Midday. Get lucky dip ration number 57. Maybe it's the same sawdust steak. Maybe it's fish meat with bones. Enjoy while artillery still booms in the distance. If you survive lunch, consider grabbing a quick nap, but only if three people are watching your back for panicking commissar. Afternoon, cleaning guns, polishing bayonets, filing paperwork, drudging endless forms about casualties nobody cares to fill out. If the paperwork is sloppy, guess who might shoot the nearest scribbler? Evening. Another death ration meal. See breakfast. Maybe you get an hour of rest. Maybe you get to listen to a tech priest rant about fuel economy. Prayer content. O Omnisia, do not let our drop pod fail miserably. Night. Gut check. Either sleep in shifts or stand guard. Either way, you wake up somewhere between nightmares and nightmares. If you're truly unlucky, the enemy sends a night raid or warp storm through your camp. Then you really wake up. Your comforts are minimal. The commissariat gives you a crusty blanket and a rusted helmet. Use them as you like. Bugs, rats, and the occasional misfired rocket round are considered added ambiance. Showers exist maybe once a week, if morale points allow. You'll quickly appreciate any day that's just mildly miserable. And let's talk about politics and paperwork. The only thing more lethal than the enemy is the Departamento Munitorum's red tape. If you think losing a pen is bad, in the guard you lose a report or ink cartridge, and you may spend a week digging latrines by hand. Want permission to send a letter home or phone your mom? Fill out Form X7B in triplicate. Wait 6 rotations of Phobos. And remember, every deputy quartermaster on the entire fleet signs off, or your request is invalid. By the way, someone will rip your letter into confetti for no reason every time. Why? Because clerical error. In your downtime, such as it is, you might engage in a few soldierly activities to keep morale, well, barely above zero. Pull guard duty, tell dirty jokes in hushed voices, or gamble what little credits you have on anything, from cockfights, literally fighting cocks, to pile-driving trench-hopping contests. The luxuriate in society's highest art, missing your family. Some turn to drink distilled promethium. Hey, at least it wakes you up. Others to prayer. The chaplain says it will earn you martyr's rewards, which you won't notice in the ground. Everyone prays the emperor spares them another morning of this. The closest thing you have to recreation is complaining just enough to not get shot, and hoping your commissar has a sense of humor. Most days he/she doesn't. Bureaucracy of Doom. If you thought your office had bureaucracy, try imperial bureaucracy. In the guard, every action requires a form number, and the forms themselves require forms to approve the forms. Want ammo? Fill out Ammo Request Form 129A. Get denied? Appeal with Form 998C. It's not uncommon for entire regiments to halt while they await signatures, ammunition, rations, or artillery support. Meanwhile, the enemy doesn't care about your bureaucratic freeze. They send the next wave. One sobering detail, every guardsman's gear is on Imperial loan. You don't own your laser gun or cloak, the Imperium does. If you lose it, you'll sign a confession. Form G209, I dropped a plasma pistol because I'm stupid. In triplicate, then stand a trial by committee. Often, blame a ghost is a legitimate excuse. If found negligent, you might be unable to afford even your gray matter anymore. The Departamento Munitorum reminds you constantly that you're expendable, a metric point on the department's ledger. Leadership. Commissars and clueless officers. Here's the thing. Your life in the Guard is ultimately not your commander's priority. It barely qualifies. Most officers have been born into their roles, nobles who paid for commissions, war heroes of convenience, bureaucrats who marched in once and never marched out of promotions. You'll encounter colonels who think permission to live is a phrase, and captains who still wet their pants when an enemy starship orbits the world. Meritocracy? Laughable. Nepotism? Endemic. The only guarantee is a golden-plated commissar standing behind your platoon. Commissars wear black leather coats and contempt and have one job: ensure absolute discipline. In practice, that means shooting you if you even look like you might want to duck in cover. Frozen by fear on your first run? Bang. Served your purpose. Complain about ration quality? Bang. More crispy skin for someone else. Think you can run behind the lines during a retreat? One drawn sidearm later, you become a corpse textbook example. Commissars are literally taught to smile as they murder terrified men. They'll shoot your commander for telling the truth, your best friend for blinking, and you for breathing too slowly. In the Guard, cowardice and thinking are equally fatal. Officially, commissars maintain morale and purge heresy. Unofficially, they're the Imperium's special termination service. Rank-and-file guardsmen regard them with something like fear admiration. He looks so tough, until you're on the other side of his barrel. Even the warlord generals whisper prayers when a commissar nods. Because in the Astra Militarum, the biggest threat to your life often isn't the orc in front of you, it's the human in the dress behind you. Above them are the real strategists, who never set foot on a trench. Distant generals issuing cryptic orders, usually read from a chart of casualty stats and planetary resource tables. They might consider you an expendable number as easily as one considers dust. If their plan expects 60% to die in the first wave, they'll call it success if only 60.1% croak. They shuttle between cushy command barges, sipping Nubian wine, sending you out to swallow bullets. Worse, these top brass rarely have up-to-date info. Most fighting happens light years from where orders come through. When your unit's actual situation finally, maybe, reaches them, it's often ancient history. You might hold a crucial position against overwhelming odds, and by the time anyone finds out, they'll have already lined up fresh recruits to replace your corpses. That's the Imperium's idea of reward. And if you're wondering, promotions are rare. The only advancement most guardsmen see is getting a few extra stripes before they die, didn't? Friendly fire and friendly faces. Speaking of friendly, the Imperial Guard is famous for its friendly fire. Heavy tank cannons that overshoot? Great fun. Errant artillery? Pray you're not in the crater. Miscalculations and misfires are so common, veteran squads carry spare teeth. One memorable rule: never stand in front of your own Lancer troopers. They'll heat seal you before the enemy even loads their guns. Even your own fellow guardsmen can get you killed by accident. Dug in side by side with that new squad, chances are good your patches are identical or they patched them after midnight. Recognition signals are sometimes non-existent, thanks to this galaxy's borderless shipping. In the twilight, your buddy might mistake you for an enemy. Maybe he even does it on purpose, hoping the commissar won't notice until he hears the bolt. Lists of daily threats might look like this: weather, acid rain, scorching deserts, radioactive nightfall. Enemy: orc berserkers, tyrannid acid spitting, demons of the warp. Leadership: orders from idiots, whim of a hat strategists, and your friendly commissar's pistol. Equipment: no parachutes, flimsier body armor than a salad bowl, and rifles that need sunshine to charge. Put it together and you have a recipe for fast death. A fun day in the Imperial Guard means you died after lunch instead of breakfast. The battlefield. Welcome to the meat grinder. When duty calls, you plug yourself into the biggest machine of slaughter the universe has ever seen. The Imperium's tactic is simple. If bullets don't work, fire more bullets. If lots of bullets don't work, call in artillery. If artillery doesn't work, well, pray you have drop pod support. The Astra Militarum specializes in one thing, overwhelming the enemy with numbers. The amount of raw firepower is impressive, but the precision is zero. Battles are choreographed as human waves, each step paid for in corpses. Think World War I, Ney-style trench warfare, multiplied by 1,000, then add giant space monsters. 1 minute, you're crouched behind a makeshift wall of sandbags. The next, a sky-darkening swarm of tyranids is charging like a living tide. Or an orc. Wow. Hordes will crest the ridge, green-skinned and cackling. Failing that, rogue psykers explode in unholy light, ripping soldiers into screaming pink mist. Every combat experience is an apocalypse scenario. Imagine you, a regular human, plopping down on a modern battlefield. You know, clear rules. You have cover, medics on call, reinforcements a phone call away, and even body armor and M4s that kill reliably. Now squeeze that into a world of 100-foot-tall hive cities, warp storms, demons walking the landscape, and no retreat ever. Enemy tanks smell you out as easily as calling an airstrike on your own head, seriously called precision fire, they call it. Inside a guard squad, it goes something like this. Someone shouts, "Orcs at 11 o'clock. You scramble from cover and shoot until your laser gun's capacitor pings empty. You're told to hold position while the artillery light up the hillside. When the bombardment ends, dozens of your mates are gone, some vaporized, some chewed up, others running screaming at random. If any of the drooling greenskins survived the arty, your squad is ordered to counter-charge. That means run forward and stand your ground until told to die, or until something bigger than an orc stops you. All the while, a bolt of pure psychic energy might turn half your faces inside out. This isn't fancy tactics, it's a meat grinder. Worse, a guardsman usually won't even see the real heavy weapons of the Imperium. Those are for space marines and titans. You might hold a laser gun or a grenade. Hope you like one-shot weapons because that's the scope of your arsenal. Anti-tank guns? Maybe if you're lucky in the second week of deployment, you've got two main comforts. One, a swarm of comrades behind you still kicking for a moment, and two, the personal conviction that maybe you'll die fast. Here are some battlefield realities you'll face, courtesy of real examples from the lore. No cover is safe. Tanks blow craters in trenches. Artillery scatters metal shards for your flak. Even the atmosphere tries to kill you. Acid rain, sulfur storms, plague spores. No rest, day after day, assault after assault. Regiments only rotate out when they've bled dry. Sometimes only a few soldiers are left to carry the banner. Reinforcements. Don't count on any. Space Marine chapters show up if the sector decides you're worth saving. Usually, the answer is no. Mechanicus patrols might skip by if you've got something they want, but if not, you're on your own. Death. Friend or foe, it's all the same when the weapons roar. Body counts are encouraged, and heads are measured for decorating banners. Infantrymen often brag about surviving X battles, but never Y, because Y never happened. Every single day is a gamble. Did you respawn this morning or not? For context, in modern wars, a casualty is mourned and treated as a tragedy. In the Guard, casualties are just numbers on a spreadsheet, continually updated like a horrific live blog. Morale, hope is heresy. Surviving a day isn't just about avoiding physical bullets. It's about dodging despair. The Astra Militarum keeps morale by either bellowing at you to stay loyal or reminding you that surrender means summary execution. Religious fervor is the opiate of the guard, literally sometimes opium, but mostly religion. Priests preach that death by your rifle is a VIP ticket to the Emperor's halls, so smile through that hail of plasma. When the Commissar isn't executing you, chaplains might prod you with blessed chains ords because the Emperor wills it. The end result? You keep firing because you can't afford not to, not because you want to. Brethren in arms bond over a shared misery. Either that or they go berserk like berserker ogrins. Scars on knuckles, shakes in hands, and haunted eyes are considered marks of honor. People trade eternal sermons and acclamations about honor and duty. But in practice, a guardsman's daily ethic is don't stop moving or don't get executed. Psychologists in the 41st millennium might tally up your stress like ammo. If you have more than 10 years of deployment or enough nightmares to form a squad, you're likely considered a war hero by Imperial standards. Not because you achieved anything, but because you're still blinking after seeing horrors beyond imagination. Battles with the Tyranids alone could reduce 100 soldiers to screams and ashes while you calmly pack the mess tins. At that point, you're practically a legend, or the next target. It's not uncommon to see a veteran guardsman crack wise about doom as his weapons jammed. Dark humor is the only survival mechanism. Jokes about your death, the Emperor's tardiness, or the Commissar's dickishness will echo through trenches. Sometimes you laugh as if the joke's on you, because it is. If a real human from today tried this life, they'd last minutes before panic set in. PTSD is skyrocketing, but there is no counseling, just more combat tours. A stand-up comedian would have a field day, except the Imperial Departamento humor is strictly metaphorical. Why modern humans fail miserably here. Take a Western infantryman with bulletproof Kevlar, basic medical care, and strict rules of engagement. They respect human life and at least try to rescue wounded comrades. Now, strip away all that, multiply your enemies by millions, and replace your gear with Imperial Thrift Store Special. Medical care. On Earth, a soldier shot in the leg gets evacuated, treated, and, maybe, goes home after a few months. In the Guard, you'd be lucky to get a field bandage if a medic acknowledges your existence. If you pass out from pain, get back up, or you're dead. Ammo and supplies. Modern militaries airdrop supplies, have logistics networks and ration packs. The Imperium? Every bullet, meal, and bandage is a gift from bureaucracy, and they ship just enough to keep you barely fighting. Running low on ammo means you pray your laser gun overheats just right, or you use rocks. Yes. No guns? Try punch. Rules of engagement. You're not allowed to retreat, surrender, or make any decision without HQ approval. On Earth, a fallen position might trigger a strategic withdrawal. For you, it's the sign you die. The phrase, holding the line at all costs, is written in Imperial iron. Literally, they will cost your life if you falter. Training and skill. Modern soldiers might have specialized training, snipers, engineers, medics. In the Guard, every squad has one heavy weapons trooper, if you're lucky. Everyone else's idea of specialist is soldier who knows how to dip a flak coat in slime to hide. You're trained to shoot and dig. That's it. Retirement. In today's world, soldiers finish their service and get pensions or move on. The only retirement the Imperium offers is giving you a fucking skull. Yes, some chaplains literally mount soldiers' skulls on pikes to inspire others. The only way off the front line permanently is via death. Awards. On Earth, a Medal of Honor might come after survival and heroism. In the Guard, you get medals for not shitting your pants openly. Every guardsman's highest medal is a censorious eye roll from the Commissar for still being alive after last night. A modern human who hears about the Guard likely giggles until they face it. Then they either cry, laugh, or pray. In any case, they definitely will not survive. That's pretty grim, but look on the bright side. The doctors of the Imperium believe that even a dog stuck out on a battlefield did his job. Being human, they consider you even less than a dog. Conclusion: the Emperor thanks you, but only in death. By sundown, if you're reading this, congratulations. You've lasted a day. Unfortunately, making it 24 hours in the Astra Militarum isn't an achievement, it's a miracle. The odds of waking up tomorrow are slightly higher if you win the lottery, get hit by a storm of smog, or disintegrated by a friendly power armor test. Let's recap. You were thrown into combat with minimal training, armed with gear that's maybe as effective as yesterday's toaster, and given a slice of moldy bread for breakfast. You operate under leaders who are either psychotic or senile, sometimes both, while the enemy war gods actively hunt your kind for pleasure. And the kicker? Even if you do everything perfectly, surviving might still be considered a clerical error by department standards. Life is treated as a disposable resource, and you're one of the raw materials. Yes, the Emperor will carry on, blinking atop his golden throne. But he won't remember your name or care how you died. You, an ordinary human, will be just another number in the next field report. The only conclusion you can draw is, modern Earth's finest Navy SEAL would crumble here. Your whole rich life of Netflix and microwave burritos doesn't prepare you for this. So do yourself a favor. Sleep in this evening, hug your family, and count your blessings that none of this is real, outside of a hobby store figurine war game. If this YouTube lecture inspired you to enlist, hit unsubscribe faster than your lasbolt will vaporize you. In the Imperial Guard, the only thing certain about the day after tomorrow is you won't be in it. Even the chaplains will only pray for your soul after you drop dead. Join up? Please, it's not worth dying for a dream your grandmother already warned you about. And remember, in the 41st millennium, the best thing to do if you ever see a real enemy out there is take one for the Emperor, because you only get one life, and it's definitely not tomorrow.